Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey guys, this is Erica Ramirez, and you're tuned into the Juice Podcast.
Oh my goodness, Erica, what happened?
My voice has changed. I'm going through some hard times. Now, this is Stephen Hartz. I'm filling in for Erica Ramirez this week. I am associate editor at the magazine. Today, I'm joined by my esteemed colleagues, Jason Lipschitz.
Hey man, what's going on?
And William Gruger.
Hello, good to be here.
Yes, so welcome to the podcast. We have some things to talk about today.
Some juice to spill.
Yeah. We are going to be rapping all the live long day. So we wanted to start out by talking about a few acts who are really bubbling on the chart, who have benefited from the assistance of being either a meme or social media or something along those lines. I mean, there's two acts in the top 10 on the Hot 100 who are really making noise. Obviously, Fetty Wap, whose Trap Queen is at number two, and T-Wayne, who is also signed to 300 Management, whose Nasty Freestyle just broke into the top 10. He's at number nine with Nasty Freestyle. It's his third week on the chart, yeah. And it was spurred by a whole smattering, if you will, of vines that kind of propelled it into the spotlight. So I wanted to first ask William, who I will refer to as Gruger for the rest of the podcast, what exactly is the cause of this phenomenon?
Yeah, so, you know, the way that which, like, a lot of these songs are becoming really popular on social media is through people participating in them. And in the way that we count activity towards the Billboard charts, that participation matters, like, quantitatively. So the first huge example of this is Harlem Shake. You know, you had so many people making their own Harlem Shake videos, and that song went straight to number one because we count user-generated plays in that way that we count YouTube. So, you know, because YouTube now and other streaming services like Spotify and Rhapsody and Beats, etc., all count, there is a much bigger presence of user, I guess, generated or meme-based music that makes it into the chart. So if some and a really popular way through which memes spread on the internet, both on YouTube and in this case of Nasty Freestyle, Vine, is through dancing. And so this dance, this Nasty Freestyle actually has a dance associated with it. That I know Jason is an expert in this type of dance.
The whip dance.
Yeah, the whip dance. Yeah, I did it on your real-time rewind. Clowning around.
Tinashe taught you how to do it.
Jason's
currently doing it. You can't see him, but he's whipping around the room.
Whipping all day and all night. But yeah, it's funny because, like, it's not that. It's just a very normal dance to me. I don't know. It's like, it's no Stanky Leg, in my opinion.
Nothing will ever.
It's also not new.
Leg.
Like, the whip dance has been around for a long time before this song took it to the mainstream. Kind of like twerking was around for a long time before Miley Cyrus took it to the mainstream.
Yeah.
And so that's typically kind of how these things are working these days. We're starting to see this sort of chart-driven phenomenon to where, like, some particular movement will get co-opted and brought into the mainstream, and then it will the aggregate effect of people doing that dance move will cause a huge rise in popularity for a particular song. And right now, T-Wayne's benefiting off of it. For twerking, there was all kinds of guys. There was Sage the Gemini, who made it onto the Hot 100 with Red Nose and Gas Pedal. There are the Fanatics with that Don't Drop That Dun Da Dun
song. Like, there's some random examples of just, like, dance. Like, when the dance becomes popular, songs chart. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I can speak particularly to T-Wayne's success. He's not really getting play on urban radio, which is kind of an anomaly for an artist a rap artist who has a top 10 hit. Because it's strictly based off of his social strategy, which was for the past 7 years, he has been posting videos to his YouTube account nearly weekly, and he's also a very accomplished dancer. So he dances to his own songs, and for whatever reason, Nasty Freestyle is the one that kind of picked up, and I think it's because it kind of just took on this life. I mean, how are memes born?
Yeah, it's interesting to me. Like, the most interesting thing about it to me is that this is, like, in the top 10 now. We've seen these songs kind of bubble under, as Gruger was just saying, and you see anything from, like, Stanky Leg, of course, to the Teach Me How to Dougie from a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. That was virally enhanced. But you don't see them becoming, like, huge crossover hits. And like you said, radio still isn't, like, blasting Nasty Freestyle, but it's in the top 10. People are talking about this song. People are going to start playing this song and figuring out why so many people love this song. I mean, that's what kind of the position I assume radio is in right now. Same thing happened exactly with Fetty Wap, where that song was just getting a lot of memes and had a bunch of streaming going on, and then radio was like, oh, let's discover this song and let's actually embrace it, because it's like a very catchy rap song. So
is it the trends, and I think Gruger can probably speak to this, that radio is playing catch-up when it comes to these songs? Like, they're really late to the party?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I mean, just the nature of which how quickly things move on the internet. I mean, it's so quick. I think that most people would be, would be maybe surprised to learn, like, radio is a very methodical, not-so-reactionary driven format. It's very scheduled. There's programming. There's very much an agenda at work when it comes to things being scheduled and released. And so because of that, because of this new, if radio is the push factor, the internet can almost be, or the internet and thing and popularity on songs like other popular on SoundCloud or on Spotify or YouTube is almost like the pull factor. And so radio can be slow to react to that because they're very used to sort of looking at their side of the world and what's programmed in their sort of like agenda, I guess.
Right. So we were talking offline about some of the factors that are pushing these songs onto the charts. And one of them was Content ID, the Content ID system that YouTube has set up. So when a song like Nasty Freestyle gets thrown on, and you might not be able to answer to this specifically, but when a song like Nasty Freestyle rises so fast, and it's very obvious that it's because of the social factor, the social media factor, what percentage are they kind of divvied up into? Like, does it depend on where it's most popular, or how does it really work?
Like, well, I mean, rap is just like very popular on the internet in general. Basically, like, rap is super popular online. You know, an example of this is, so one of the charts that we measure social activity on are the Billboard and Twitter real-time charts. And a really cool fact about those charts are that when it comes to, like, if you look at all the songs that have charted on that chart for the longest amount of time, it looks like the Hot 100 would. You see Ariana Grande, you see Iggy Azalea, you see Bruno Mars, etc. But if you look at which artists have achieved the most different tracks on the chart, it's all hip hop.
And I'll let you do your thing. For those who can't see Gruger right now, he's like frantically looking through basically a spread of 20 pieces of paper with different charts on it.
Steven has it.
Ha.
Wow. That's where it is.
The one piece of paper that you
That's what I was looking for. Sorry about that.
All right.
So yeah, well, so anyway, it's like if you look at from the beginning of the real time charts, songs that have gotten the most number of songs that have gotten to number one, it's One Direction, Drake, 5 Seconds of Summer, Chris Brown, Ariana Grande, Beyonce. But if you look at the number of tracks appear on the chart, artists who achieve the most quantity of tracks on the chart, it's Chief Keef, Soulja Boy, Gucci Mane, Future, yes, Kevin Gates, Rick Ross, B.O.B., Tyga, Drake, Currency, Ariana Grande, One Direction, Juicy J, Migos, Childish Gambino, Lil Wayne. Like,
basically rap. All my favorite artists.
I was about to say I like maybe three of those artists, and one of them is Ariana Grande.
One of Soulja Boy.
But the point is, this is what I was talking to Steven with offline about, is that the internet loves rap, or that a huge facet of rap, hip hop in general, is that it's contextual, it's about what's happening in the world, so it's a genre that lends itself to conversation, and a lot of that conversation happens on social media. And more as the industry and A&R is looking to social media as a tool to figure out who's popping, who has big followings, who should we sign, those hip-hop acts sort of lend themselves as to the obvious choices of, hey, people really care about this, let's give them a platform, let's back them, let's sign them. And so that's definitely what's contributing to people like 300 signing so many of these hip-hop acts. And, you know, like Steven pointed out, two of them are in the top 10 of the Hot 100 right now. And this is a fairly new label for the most part.
So they just launched last fall, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious because, you know, it makes sense to me that a lot of these hip-hop acts are kind of blowing up on the real-time charts, just because you see there's so many hip-hop blogs and there's such like a proliferation of some of these artists and some of these songs that no matter what they do, maybe it's a mixtape cut, maybe it's a single, maybe it's an, you know, a featured credit, they get counted. But I'm curious because it seems like pop artists have such dedicated, especially like if you look at some of the teen pop acts.
The fan army, yes.
The fan army aspect. Yeah. Like, why is that not impacting these songs more, I guess? Because in the same way that some of these songs, some That's of the artists point. That you mentioned, like Gucci Mane, Soulja Boy, like they have songs that are doing well on real-time charts that aren't cracking the Hot 100. Mm-hmm. Same thing with these teen pop acts, where they might not be necessarily heating up the Hot 100, but because they have so much dedication in their fan bases, they get millions of YouTube views. So why is that not doing
it? Yes, that's a great question. And I think the reason is due to how these artists release stuff. So when you look at your big pop acts, so the chart measures conversation about songs.
Okay.
So the songs that get talked about for pop acts are the singles.
Yeah.
So if I'm One Direction and I'm putting out an album, I put out Steal My Girl, the music video, right? And then I put out another single, and like those songs will chart. But hip-hop, like Migos, for example, puts out a new track like every week. Here's a track, here's a track, here's a track. And so those tracks create headlines that create tweets. And so they very much, a lot of these guys will practice just like releasing new songs all the time that aren't really tied to a release, aren't really tied to schedules. It's just
so the
like
volume of what they're releasing
exactly.
is helping them.
And because it's not tied to anything official, like an official big project,
yeah,
it each generates its own sort of like whirlpool of headlines.
Yeah. Interesting.
Got it. And I mean, it doesn't matter if the songs are good, which
yeah. Yeah.
Some of them aren't.
I mean, true.
Well, to kind of continue from there, we can talk a little bit about what's been going on in hip hop this week in general.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Fetty Wap, and I think he's a really good person to zero in on because he seems to be
so close
happening.
To number one.
He's really happening right now. Like, he had the My Way remix with Drake.
Yep.
He had the Trap Queen remix yep. with
Quavo?
Gucci Mane,
Quavo
yeah. and there's another Azealia Banks version. Is Fetty Wap hip hop's next big star?
So that is a great question, and a question that makes me happy because I really like Fetty Wap.
Me too, man.
I think, let me ask you guys a question. Is Fetty Wap a rapper? Like, would you, he is, but like, if you listen to like, what was it? My Way, I guess.
Yeah. He's singing.
Yeah, he's singing
with an A.
Yeah. I think that he is basically taking what, if you look at like almost like a family tree of like Kanye West, 808s and Heartbreak, from that brings Drake, and then that brings like Future, and that brings someone like Fetty Wap. You see all these guys mixing their rhymes with their singing. And Fetty Wap is just kind of extending that he kind of raps, but even his raps are like sing-songy. And he has such a great ear for hooks that it doesn't really matter what he is, people are going to listen to it. Like Trap Queen is such a catchy song, and it's not catchy because of like the occasions on it where he's actually rapping. It's because of the singing hooks that he's doing. Anyway, my answer is yes. Like, I think I think that Fetty Wap is a voice that may never be a huge star like a Drake or like a Kendrick or even like a Wiz, but like if you look at like Future has a huge dedicated following. He doesn't really have any like hits that non-hip hop fans would know about, but he's still doing his thing. He's carved out his own lane, and I think Fetty Wap can definitely do the same.
And he's gotten so much endorsement. I mean, there, you know, when if you look at what the Drake effect has had for Migos, for I Love Maconan,
yeah,
you know, even though I didn't get on Trap Queen's number two song, you know, hopping on My Way will definitely, I see, helping his like overall profile. And I know like Jay-Z and Beyonce have endorsed this song, and there's probably some other ones as well.
Well, the whole thing is that it seems like he's just a more original artist. Just because if you think about this song compared to basically the 2014 version of this song, which was Bobby Shmurda, like that, I mean, I love that song. Like that,
Bobby Shmurda?
Yes, yes, I love that song.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Boy.
Hot boy. Love that. I still listen to that song a very high number of times per week. But it's not like a groundbreaking song. It's just like it had some catchy lines.
It's rap. There's not even
a
hook.
It's rap. There's no hook. I mean, there's nothing about it that... It's just a great song. It's not like there's anything about it that makes me say, wow, Bobby Shmurda, like he's someone that's really doing something interesting with the genre. Fetty Wap is the complete opposite, where I think he is doing something very creative with hip hop in general.
Do you think that Trap Queen is going to be Song of Summer?
I do. It's my song of the summer.
Man, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting if it is, because I think a lot of people predicted it to be the song of the summer, and I think I had a little bit of a hesitation because there's just not a rap song, except going back to maybe like Hot in Her.
Can you say that again?
Hot in Her. I say with the two R's. Come on, you have to. There isn't really a song that's been the song of the summer like that. I mean, there are some like pop rap songs like Black Eyed Peas, Post Iggy Azalea.
Post to Be right now is, I hear that all the time on the radio.
That's Omarion. That's kind of a little stagnant at number 13 though.
It is, but yeah. It's been there. It's been on that chart for a while now.
I think
17 weeks.
I think Fetty Wap, because it's not a traditional rap song. Like if you look at, again, going back to Bobby Shmurda, like that was a huge song. Last year was a top 10 hit, but it wasn't anywhere close to Song of the Summer. And I feel like I kind of expected Fetty Wap's Trap Queen to be in that lane of being like the biggest rap song of the summer, but not like the biggest overall song of the summer. But because it's not a traditional rap song, I think it definitely has a shot. I mean, it's number two. It can't be See You Again, right? That can't be the song of the summer. It can't be.
You made it this far without mentioning that song. Yeah. Let's
yeah, please. Why did you have to do that?
Come on.
So on top of that, we got a new song from A$AP Rocky last night that features Rod Stewart,
yeah,
and Mark Ronson and Miguel, which has to be the most bizarre lineup I think hip hop has seen in quite some time.
It's a sample of Rod Stewart.
It's a sample of Rod Stewart, yeah, so yes, from 1972, singing, but it's still, you know, Rod Stewart is singing alongside Miguel as if, you know, he was in the studio.
Strange.
So do we think that A$AP Rocky's album is shaping up to be what we expect it to be based on what we've heard so far?
I can't wait for this album. And it's funny, we talked about this a couple weeks ago on one of our many other podcasts, but I just feel like It's funny because the way I put it was that 3 years ago, you had Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City come out in October 2012, and it was mind-blowing, and everybody loved it. And then 3 months later, A$AP Rocky came out with Long Live A$AP, and it was it's a good record, but it's definitely a step down from Good Kid, Mad City. It didn't have that kind of thoughtfulness, didn't have that kind of substance. It had some really fun party songs, but nothing really beyond that. Now it's almost the inverse, where it's like 3 years later, Kendrick comes out with To Pimp a Butterfly, which is super heady. I really like that album, but it definitely lacks like that kind of like jam. And now you have A$AP coming with what seems to be a huge collection of jams. Like, I love that song M's, and this song is super interesting. This is a little bit weirder, but like I'm ready. Like, and I feel like that the timing's better. Long Live A$AP came out in January. This is coming out in June.
It's coming out in August.
It's coming out in August?
Yeah, he last... Well, when he was at the Red Bull Music event doing a one-on-one talk, I think, with Elliot Wilson, he shouted Billboard out a few times in a negative light for giving the incorrect release date for his album.
But you know what? Hip-hop release dates...
And can't
I'm just
be
shaking
mad.
My
can't
head.
Be that
you can't
mad.
See it. If you're listening to this, you can't see it, but I'm shaking my head.
He's shaking it.
So August? All right.
So we'll have to wait a little bit longer for the Rocky album.
What do you guys think?
I mean, he's a pretty sonically diverse artist, and I found his debut to be a little polarizing because of it. Like, there are so many different types of songs on there, and I think it speaks to his versatility, and I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
But I also find it to be a little bit off-putting because he's released a few songs, and like, I didn't really like the first couple that have come out prior to this Rod Stewart record. And so I don't really know what to expect. I don't know if it'll be... will it have a One Train? Will it have a Peso? I mean, those are two extremely different songs that kind of exist in the same atmospheres. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like half the songs... I said it at the time when Long Live A$AP came out. I feel like half the songs on that record are really good, and half the songs on that record are not very good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say about like looking for the follow-up. Like, Long Live A$AP stood on those huge singles, like Problems and One Train and the Skrillex song. And so I wonder also, like, you know, Jason said to be true, it could be full of bangers, but I also wonder, like, if maybe it'll be sort of like on trend with Kendrick Lamar's album and be like a more comprehensive piece of work that's more like thick.
Yeah.
Well, A$AP Rocky comes off as like a heady artist, where it seems like he is capable of putting out an actually artistic body of work.
For sure.
And that's no disrespect to Fetty Wap or anyone who's really popping right now.
Yeah.
But he really seems like he looks at the bigger picture as opposed to just putting out singles, which is why it's so confusing. You can't really take the temperature on how it's really going to be yet when you hear something from Rocky out of context.
Yeah, and when I said that it could be a collection of bangers, that wasn't to minimize A$AP's stuff at all. Like, I think that you do need a collection of bangers sometimes in hip-hop. You just need something like a Watch the Throne, where it's not like it's a super My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy-esque exploration, but it's just like, here are 12 hot songs that you're going to like all summer long. And I'm hoping that A$AP does that.
Right. One other thing I wanted to touch on, Chris Brown, not having a good week.
Oh, Chris Brown.
How do we feel about Chris Brown? Well, not only was he was, I think the charges were dropped, or he was acquitted in an assault case, which, like,
it's so hard to keep track.
It's hard to keep track of his assault cases. But he comes home to his house to find that there's a woman who had broken in, and I kind of, you know, made two meals, wore his clothes, wrote on the walls and on his car, and he managed to take a picture of her, and he Instagram shamed her, which I don't know. I mean, that's a really complicated situation to have feelings about, because number one, it's Chris Brown, and if anyone is going to have that happen to, I would have hoped it was Chris Brown, which is a shitty thing to say.
I would have played Bed Intruder Remix as the cops hauled her out of my apartment.
Oh, Antoine Dodson callback. Very nice.
Oh my God.
That's what I would have done.
But do we feel sorry for Chris Brown?
No.
No.
Okay. And with that,
I think I don't know. It's I'm not a Chris Brown guy. I feel like, here's the thing. If you're a Chris Brown fan, I don't begrudge you at all. I feel like it must be very tiring, though. Like, I feel like it's just trying to focus on, like, say you're just like, man, I love Chris Brown's music. I can't wait to hear his next album, his new singles. I love his features. If you're like that, like, again, go for it. Good for you. But there's just so much ancillary stuff that it's like, oh, what is he doing now? It's kind of like, I feel like there are some acts like that. You know, it's like Death Grips. I always feel like that with Death Grips, where it's like, can you imagine, like, Death Grips is your favorite artist, and you're just I can't wait for more Death Grips stuff. Yeah. And then, like, oh, wait, they broke up. Oh, they didn't break up. Oh, they broke up again.
Yeah.
Oh, they got dropped from their label. Oh, they Instagrammed their penises. Oh, they broke up again. Like, it's just so tiring. I would just be like, I can't take the music's not worth it. And I kind of feel like that with Chris Brown.
Being an apologist is hard. Like, as a Justin Bieber fan, like, I am the biggest Justin Bieber apologist of all time.
As the president of the Bieber fan club.
Yeah.
I'd be like a treasurer probably at that fan club.
And, like, you know, when you have to constantly apologize on behalf of artists that you like to your friends, you're like, ugh, I'm sick of them. You're like, no, but it's gonna be good this time. Chris Brown is gonna finally come around. It's like, it's not gonna happen, man.
Yeah.
Or will it?
Yeah. I don't think it's gonna happen. So before I cut you guys loose, you guys being the listeners, does anybody have a favorite track that they are rocking right now that people should latch on to?
Gruger, I'll let you go first.
Oh my god.
You can look through your Vine charts.
No, I'm gonna look through
I really do like the new Miguel single.
Yeah,
I coffee. Like the single Coffee in parentheses fucking.
Funniest song title.
We had actually heard the song last week and a week prior to its release, and it did not originally feature Wale.
Yeah.
And I'd have to say that the reaction was that everybody wished that Wale wasn't on it. Having listened to it with his version now, I could see how it works because I think it needs a little bit of diversity. Otherwise, it's just Miguel singing the same thing over and over again. But I feel like Miguel should have probably called in a different favor.
Yeah, that's fair. But I just looked up, by the way, Fetty Wap's, it was Show You, not Show Me.
Show You.
I know, my bad, guys. It's Montana Bucks featuring. I really like that. It's a great song.
Okay.
Man, I'm going to be so late with this. But, like, so my thing is that when a hip-hop album comes out, I usually, like, latch onto one song and, like, exhaust that song in terms of, like, how many times I listen to it. I'm like, yeah, really, like, I'm just going to listen to this 20 times, then I'm going to move on to another song. Then I do that, you know, with all my favorite songs on the album until there are no more favorite songs on the album. So I've been doing that with the Kendrick album, obviously. But the one that I want to call back to is I've been moving on. Like, it came out, like, how many? 4 months ago? The Ray Sremmurd album.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're right, Stephen. You look a little pained. what I want to say is that when that album came out, my jam was No Type, and I just listened to that nonstop. And then about a month or two into that, Throw Some Mo came out as the single. Listened to that a ton. My Ex, and then after Throw Some Mo was My Ex, and I listened to that a ton. And now I'm on Unlock the Swag, which may be my favorite song on that album. And it's just, it's like the weirdest rap song. And again,
it's like a commercial.
Yeah.
If you watch the video, it's like a Reebok thing or something.
The thing is, it's like,
it's like a marketing
SponCon
or something.
Again, this song is months old, so I'm late pass for me. Okay. Hashtag late pass or whatever. But it's just like,
is that what the kids are saying these days?
Hashtag late pass, I guess so. I think that this song is just so like, if you listen to the first 45 seconds of the song, it's literally Ray Sremmurd, like, doing both a verse and a chorus at the exact same time. It reminds me of, like, prog rock in a little bit. Like, it's just like there's all these weird, like, loping beats, and it's insane. It's just an insane song. I'm all about it.
Mike Will Made It is just, like, the best producer in hip hop right now, period. I think.
I just think like that album.
Does he have the crown?
It's between him and still DJ Mustard. Like, yep. DJ Mustard is still killing it. And no matter how many times he makes the same beat in like a slightly different way, that beat is fucking awesome.
I know. Oh my God. Like listening to the Big Sean album, like Paradise, like is like the sickest Mike Will made it beat. And then it's like, you know, I Don't Fuck With You is also a sick beat, and it's DJ Mustard. It's like they just like back to back amazingness.
They really are going back to back. It'll be interesting to see like how much more they can squeeze out of this run, because it's like
I think Mike Will has way more versatility though.
I agree with that. 100%. Miley Cyrus, that bangers
that
album.
That Cyrus push.
Anyway, what did Gruger did you give your song?
I got one now. For sure. Just last week, a few weeks ago, I finally started listening to the J. Cole album that I slept on.
Surprisingly good.
It is very good. And I love it when music videos come out that suddenly like redefine a song that you liked, like maybe kind of liked or didn't really like, but then once you see the video, it like really sticks in your mind. And did any of you see the video for Wet Dreams that came out? So the whole music video is puppies. There's like a German shepherd puppy that like represents J. Cole. So the whole song is about like adolescent puppy love, kind of. And it's like your first sexual encounter is what the song is about. And so the way that which the video sort of conveys the sort of push-pull of like puppy love and innocence are like through these two little dogs. The whole music video is these dogs. And it's cute and it's really, really, really well done. And I just like jumped right back into the album, started listening to after that music video drop. So if you're listening, go watch it because it's awesome.
Cool. And on that note, thanks everyone for tuning in. I'm Erica Ramirez.
Juice
and
Podcast.
For more, go to billboard.com. And catch you next week.
Shout out to you you interviewed Ludacris for the new cover story, right?
Well, it has a Stephen Horowitz byline.
Yeah.
But
that's cool.
Check it out.
Oh, yeah. All right.
No, I was kidding about that. I mean, because I'm Erica Ramirez.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.